for great is your reward. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be called the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful. Be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. Here we go. Judge not, lest you be judged. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. What did Exodus 22 say? Judge. And what the judge judges, he offers a condemnation. Rejoice. You're going to receive restitution, and they're going to receive retribution. Rejoice. Now Jesus says, in a complete culture change, judge not, condemn not, forgive. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and runners shall men give unto you, brother, for the same measure that ye meet shall be measured to you again. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Exodus 22 said, go before the judge. He'll issue a judgment and a condemnation. Restitution and retribution will be made. Jesus says, don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive. All they knew up to that point was Mosaic law. Can you imagine what kind of culture change that was to them? Now I got to not judge my enemy. Now I got to not condemn him and forgive my enemy. In the old Jehovah, you would destroy my enemies. Now the kingdom of heaven is preached. Why a culture change? Why change of instruction? Because there was an internal change now. We went from spiritual death in the old. That's why I hear people talking about the Old Testament. They don't have a clue. Because those in the old were spiritually dead, incapable of understanding New Testament principles. Jesus comes. We acknowledge him as Lord. The life of God is breathed in our spirit. We go from death into life. Now we can comprehend. Okay, now I know Jesus. What you were saying. He said, be ye merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. Then he gave us a description of what being merciful was. Judge not, Homer, lest ye be judged. Condemn not, Homer, lest ye be condemned. Forgive, Homer, so that you will be forgiven. Go ahead. Tell everybody what they did to you. Go ahead. You're going back to Exodus 22. Judging. You're going back under law. And if you judge somebody under law, you will be judged according to law. My entrance into the kingdom was based on Matthew 18. I was forgiven a debt that I could never repay. Never. I could not repay what Jesus Christ did for me. I couldn't. Not only did he do it for me, he loosed me of it and never again mentioned my failure. Yet we lack compassion. We want to tell everybody in the world what Christina Harding did to me or what Miss Gay did to me. Be careful. There's a judgment come upon you. Judge not. Lest you be judged. Condemn not lest you be condemned. Forgive so that you'll be forgiven. Give and it shall be given unto you a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto you bosom with the same measure that ye meet. Shall be measured to you again. And he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? So they not both fall into a ditch. The disciple is not above his master, but he that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam that is in thine own eye, then, Homer, you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Don't judge me. That's all the body of Christ has memorized. Let me tell you something. We are the light of this earth. There should be no mote or beam in our eyes. For what reason? To help take out the mote out of somebody else's eye. If you can't extend the mercy of God, if you can't extend, if we can't extend the blood of Jesus, if we live our life telling everybody and their mama what somebody did to us, you're judging. You want something rendered against that person that hurt you. You want something rendered. You want restitution or you want retribution. My friend, that retribution was laid on one man. The perfect sacrifice. And his name was Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Be careful what you say about somebody. Be extremely careful. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. Forgive, so that you'll be forgiven. Give, that should be given unto you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over, shall men give unto your bosom. With the same measure that you meet, Homer, the same judgment that you judge with, you'll be judged in return. And he spoke a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? There's nothing I can do in the kingdom of God if John 13 is not downloaded in my being. I am blind even as a believer. When I go back as a born again, Holy Ghost filled believer, and I begin to judge you according to Exodus 22, I am blind, my friend, and I can do nothing for the kingdom. If your mote bothers me, and I have to announce your mote to everyone, that, my friends, is a beam. When I begin to judge you, my friends, that, my friends, is a beam. I've heard and I've said, I was watching Fox News the other day where a transgender was on the screen and she was being interviewed. And something awesome happened during that interview in me. You hear the word Muslim and same-sex marriage and homosexuality and transgender to a Christian, and a wall goes up because we lack compassion. That transgender person was saying how they wanted to commit suicide because it was so hard being a transgender in America. And you know what I believe. But make no mistake, that transgender person is a person that Jesus Christ came to die for. And that transgender was crying, saying they wanted to commit suicide, and instantaneously, my spirit went into intercession. I actually hurt for that person. I don't care what they say. They want out of that mess. If they're so comfortable making that decision, then why want to commit suicide? The Muslim, homosexuals, if you hate the Muslim as a Christian and you hate the homosexual as a Christian, you have no concept of what John 13 is. The image of John 13 is not downloaded in me and you. That's why we randomly evangelize the Word of God. Because the Holy Ghost is so grieved in us that we can't tell who wants Jesus and who doesn't. That's why we randomly evangelize the gospel. Because we don't have a clue of who's ready to receive the gospel. Because we're so full of hatred and strife and unforgiveness. So we might as well randomly minister it because we can't hear the Holy Ghost because he's grieved because of our bitterness, anger, malice, and evil speaking. We've grieved his operation in our life. Are you with me? That's why, Miss Terry, we're forced to randomly preach the gospel. We take a shot at it because we can't hear the Holy Spirit leading us to Farm Workers Village, apartment 601 B section, because there's so much turmoil, hate, and strife in our life. We're blind, judging the homosexual, the Muslim, the transgender. Now, make no mistake now. Make no mistake. Those lifestyles are wrong. I am not passive. But they are people that Jesus Christ wants to them to encounter him, that they will turn from their lifestyle. We lack compassion. We're so blind corporately in the body of Christ. That's why nothing is, but that's why, thank God, we go to a little church where a man like Pastor Bronk teaches us how to receive that 2020 spiritual, get that spiritual cardiac, what is it? Cataract out of our eye. We're taught how to see straight. We're taught how to see straight. Thank God we're taught a way how to get the beam out of our eye. Thank God we are. I don't want to be blind, man. Aren't you tired of eloquence? Of speech? See, could the blind lead the blind? If I got strife and hatred in my heart, what can I do for the kingdom of God? Nothing. If I can't wash the betrayal off of you, anybody who betrayed, if I can't wash it off of their feet, what have I done in the kingdom of God? But nothing. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. If we can forgive, we fulfill the law of liberty. We fulfill love. I'm a mighty prophet, teacher, preacher, evangelist. I heard you rip a Muslim yesterday, man. I heard your speech. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but he that is perfect shall be as his master. And why, Homer, do you behold the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, Homer. Then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of Kirsten's eye. Make no mistake, we're here on this earth with a lit candle to lead this world in the right direction. But when we're blind and have spiritual cataracts consuming our eye vision, we know nothing and can do nothing for the kingdom. Well, I'm called to do this and that. No, you're called to walk in compassion. We are called to walk in the love of God. You want to know, in closing already, do you want to know what a person is capable of doing that does not have a mote or beam in their eye? That is what the Almighty God is looking for. Can I send Kevin White to another continent? He wants Kevin White to go here. He wants Reuben to go there. He wants Homer to go there. But Homer, Kevin, Reuben, Marty, Rosie, I want them to get the beams out of their eyes so they can see clearly to cast out the mote out of their brother's eye or out of their enemy's eye. He's waiting for me and you. What result can we have in society? I'm going to give you the perfect, perfect story or reality or truth of what we can do when we are not spiritually blind to an extent. I don't want that cataract in my eye, Miss Terry. I want to know that if I'm sitting somewhere, that I'll stay there and I'll finish till the death. Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, to the modern day church, it doesn't mean what they think it means. If that was the case, then we would have our neighbor's wife. Delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart, because usually what the other believers have for somebody else, they want to covet somebody's goods. No, no, no. What it's saying is, delight yourself in God, and what he wants you to do in his life, he'll put into your heart so that we can finish what he wants done. The time in there has almost completely eradicated what I thought I wanted in life. A complete different disposition is inside of my being now. Because I'm delighting myself in him and he's putting his desires in my heart. Will I heed what he wants me to do? I've got to finish. I've got to work on myself to see clearly. So when I do go to Plainview, Texas and start a church, or whether I do go to Afghanistan or Syria to minister to a Muslim, that I will finish my course. Having the image of John 13 completely consuming my being. Where it doesn't matter if I face death, that I would finish my course in the Lord. And I don't have to worry about going. When I'm ready, he will exalt me and he will send me. Well, how do I know when I want to preach so bad? That's probably why you're not preaching, because you want to preach so bad. Let the compassion of God grow in you like a tree, my friends. When the Father sees that compassion grow in you, trust me, he wants to use you. But eloquence means nothing to the Father. Let the love of God grow in you like a tree. That's why I know that he's calling me to the Muslim. Because that desire is growing in me like a tree. Do you think me in my right mind that I would ever want to leave my wife, my 6 kids, and my 10 grandkids? What man in his right mind would want to do that? But as I delight myself in my Father, he puts his desire in my being. My life is not my own. Every single day, I'm starting to conclude that. He's looking for us, for me and you, to be merciful as he is merciful. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Condemn not, lest ye be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. When I extend that mercy by not judging, by not condemning, by walking in forgiveness, my friends, I'm not blind anymore. But if I hate the Muslim and I hate the homosexual and the transgender gets on my nerves, you are not qualified. You have disqualified yourself. That hurts, doesn't it? I'm going to buy me a gun. I'm going to bust a cap into somebody in these last days. I'm buying a gun. I'm going to buy a gun. I'm going to defend myself. You come up on me, I'm going to kill you. That's why there's no revival. That's why there is no revival. I don't see, maybe if you're an old covenant saint, you could justify that. Maybe if you were fighting Goliath, maybe being spiritually dead, you could justify it. But justify it from Matthew to Revelation, you can't. It's not in there, my friend. Would you defend your family if you had a firearm? Yes. Would be my last resort. But I will not purchase a gun for that sole reason, to bust a cap into somebody. Compassion is not even a stump inside of you yet. But that compassion has to grow in you like a tree, so that the blindness will be cast away. We can see clearly into that village full of Muslims. See clearly. Walk in there. I know you hate me, but bring your sick mother to me. Bring her to me. I know I might not make out of this village alive, but let me display to you the love and the power of the Almighty God. Let me walk into that village with boldness. Walk right on in there. I see your little daughter does not have a face. I know I might not leave this place alive. Let me lay my hands on her. I know, Mr. Muslim, that your little girl was killed in battle. At 11 years old, I know you're full of hatred. But I have no spiritual cataract in my eye. I see clearly to know, Mr. Muslim, that my father loves you. Can I lay my hands on her? Like Jesus said in Luke, Talitha Kumai, little girl, I say unto you, arise. That, my friends, is the kingdom of God. Take your eloquence into that Muslim village. See what they do to you. I'm called to be a preacher and teacher. Not with strife, you're not. Not with strife, you're not. You are in error. You have self-exalted yourself to that place. When I'm ready for Texas, he will send me. My heart is there so much. I love that place. When my heart is ready to leave this country to minister the word in love and power, he'll send me, is what Gary Carpenter said to me yesterday. I don't know when it's time, Gary. He'll send you. He went throughout all Galilee preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and disease. That's one thought, my friends. He wants me and you to get the beams and the motes out of our eyes. For what reason? To win this world. One last example and we're done. You're going to like this. Is anybody in here mad at me? You wouldn't say it loud anyway. Does it make sense to you, Kirsten? What if, Kirsten, what if the praying and the fasting and the praying in the spirit and going through Luke 6 about 1,000 times, that's where I'm at. Luke 6, through the Gospels, over and over and over and over again. So you can teach it? No, so I can live it. So I can live it. This is the fruit of a man or woman. Let me tell you, there is no male or female in the Father. If God will give a woman of his spirit and fill her with the Holy Ghost, what is man or denomination that says that woman can't be used, you knucklehead? So if I'm on my deathbed and Carl is there powerless, and Kirsten is there with power. Nope, Kirsten, you can't lay your hands on me, even though you can raise me up. Carl's going to pray for me, even though he's powerless. Please, by all means, Kirsten, lay your hands on me. This is the fruit of a man or woman of God that can see clearly. No mote and no beam. Exodus 22 said, I had the right to judge or that judgment will be made and condemnation and restitution or retribution be paid. Luke 6 says, I didn't. Luke 6 says, I didn't have that right because now the glory of God dwells in me. I am a son of God. And he wants me to get the mote and beam out of my eye. For what reason? To see clearly, to help society know that there is an awesome God. John 8. The woman caught in adultery. Remember what we're after. The fruit of one that does not have a mote or beam in his or her eye. What? How can God use this person? The woman caught in adultery. According to Mosaic law, you couldn't commit adultery. And if you did, you could be what? Stoned. They analyzed that correctly. The hypocrites did. Would you say the woman caught in adultery had a mote in her eye? Somebody. Yes. She did contrary to the law of God. She had a mote in her eye. Absolutely. Now, how do we go from a mote to a beam? Master, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, I ask myself, how did these hypocrites know what she was doing at that very time? Very interesting. I'll leave it at that. This woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Moses commanded us in the law that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? He wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now you agreed with me that she had a mote. She committed adultery. She had a mote. Here these religious leaders come and they want her stoned. Now these religious leaders had the law. They had the prophets. But who did the law and the prophets talk about? You better know that one. The law and the prophets testified of Jesus. Who was in the midst of the Pharisees and the woman caught in adultery? He whom the law and the prophets spoke about. God in the flesh. Yet they could not see. She had a mote. Committed adultery. Contrary to the law of Moses. They come and accuse her. Not believing in the Christ. Yet they said they were hanging on to the law. Would you call that a mote? Or would you call that a beam? A beam. Because not only were they sinners, but they say that they could see and they knew the way to God. You with me? A double whammy. She was just a sinner. She didn't claim that she knew another way to God. She was just an adulterer. They were sinners, adulterers, and murderers, yet they said that they weren't that and could not see that God in the flesh was right in their midst. She had a mote. They had a beam. Are you with me? Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What sayest thou? And he stooped down and rolled on the ground as though he heard them not. And he rose again. Mote, beam. He that is without sin, let him cast a stone at her. And they all, from the elders to the youngest, they departed, being convicted, the Bible says. Here's a woman that was being displayed publicly by a devil. Because Jesus later on would say in John 8 that Satan was their father. She had a mote. They had a beam. But then one man with a lit candle who was qualified to pick up a stone and knock her upside the head. But notice what one with no beam says. Did he bring a judgment against her? Did Jesus bring a judgment against her. Why? Because she was already judged. She was already condemned. She was not forgiven. Are you with me? A person with a beam was judging one with a mote. A person without a beam, without a mote, didn't say a word. Judging that person that was already judged, already condemned, and not forgiving. When we walk in hate towards the world, are we judging them again? How are we ever going to pull them out of that judgment lest we walk in the love of God? If I hate them the way they expect me to hate them, how are we ever going to pull them out of that judgment? She was already judged. She was already condemned and not forgiven. But here one qualified with no mote, with no beam, came and set her free. Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no one condemned thee? Who condemns? A judge. A judge condemns. Hypocrisy. Religion was condemning her, judging her. But yet one precious man that was not blind, one that didn't revert back to Exodus 22 and rip her publicly in that square that she was in, cast that mote out of her eye. Didn't give her a free pass now. He said, woman, go. One qualified to judge, to condemn. Qualified. No mote, no beam, said nothing. But go and sin no more. He could see clearly. He knew by the Holy Ghost that she was ripe for repentance, my brothers and my sisters. He didn't randomly speak to her. He spoke to her through the Holy Ghost. Our friend, Mr. Grace, as Carl Ellie names him, I'm not going to say his name, says that our sins, are they past, present, and future? Did I say that right? Past, present, and future, that were forgiven already, right? That's their doctrine. If that was the case, if that is the case, then why didn't Jesus just say, go? If Mr. Grace is correct in his doctrine, then why didn't Jesus just say, go? No. He said, go and sin no more. If what Mr. Grace preaches is true, then Jesus is a liar. He didn't just say, go, they're all forgiven, damsel. They're all forgiven, whoever you are. No, he said, go and sin no more. Mr. Grace says different. Well, Mr. Grace, you're wrong. And 95% of the body of Christ, they're not going to agree with us in these last days. It is common for a born-again believer to chamber with a partner, to live in fornication and it not bother them. And they will happily post on Facebook about how good God is. There's even more shame in that when the church of Jesus Christ allows one that is in fornication to teach Sunday school. We have lost meaning of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. We've lost it. There's a few crazy people in Immokalee, Florida that are going to make a stand. Mr. Gray says past, present, and future sins are all forgiven. If that were the case, Jesus would have just said to her, go. But no, he said, go and sin no more. He that was qualified saw, and the mote was taken out of her eye. The woman, Samaria, John 4, that wanted that living water, Now you can't say that fornication is wrong in the church, or else you're judging. But Jesus said, if you want to drink this water, go call thy husband. I have no husband. Jesus said, you are correct. You've had five husbands, and him who you now have is not your husband. Thou sayest correctly. If you want this living water, you better repent, is what he told her. You want this living water? You want to drink this? You want to drink of my blood and eat my flesh? You better stop this fornication. I, like you, want the beam out of my eye. I would rather die. I would rather die than live a miserable life as a Christian, hating and being filled with strife. I would rather die than live a miserable life with the Spirit of the Almighty God inside of me. He needs that spiritual cataract eliminated out of our eyes. This country is falling apart. It's falling apart. We don't live our life according to who wins the race. This is our victory. It's sad. The two that will be running for president of the United States, it's sad the two that are there. It's sad we have to pick the lesser of the two evils. But I say unto you, my friends, this is what we live by. And if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all that we need will be added unto me and you. There can be famine all around us, but in our yard, manna can come out of the sky. Hear, hear. All that I relayed to you, all that I taught you this morning, is what he taught me regarding myself. You cannot do anything for the kingdom full of yourself. Make no mistake, we cannot. The blind cannot lead the blind. The day of beholding has ceased for 2,000 years. We can't regress back into Exodus 22. Be careful what you say about your brother. Amen. With all my heart, I love you, man. And we have to finish. We have to finish. We have to get the beams out of our eyes. Hallelujah. Guys, Wednesday, I invite you. I'm going to be teaching, I feel it already, on lying. Pastor Bronk says that when you throw a rock into a pack and the dog that barks is usually the guilty one. Carl! Yeah. I'm going to be ministering on lying. Little exaggerations. A.K.A. lying. Then we're going to take it one step further. If God's word is truth, and we contradict God's word that is truth, then what are we speaking? We'll leave it at that. Come Wednesday, lying is the first thing that we should put off as believers, because the spirit of truth now lives inside of me and you. Amen. Were you exhorted today? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So me and Harry and Robert, we had a good time this morning talking the word here this morning. We had a great old time. God, I, with all my heart, see through me. I love you so much. I want to teach you what I'm taught. I want to teach you and relate to you what he's teaching me, what he wants me to change in my life. We're only going to make a difference when that compassion in me and you grows like a tree. Our desire to preach this cannot outweigh or outgrow the desire for that compassion to grow inside of me and you like a tree. We have to finish, man. We have to finish. Amen. Stand with me, please. Rex, are you here? Can you come dismiss us in prayer, please? Pretty please. God bless you.
Oh, man, oh, man. I take that to heart, huh? Isn't it something when you pray and meditate the word and pray in the Holy Ghost and you get the truth out of the word and not something messed up, mixed up? Guess it takes some patience too, doesn't it? I think I learned some things today. I guess I learned some things even today about even some of my own unforgiveness yet, huh? I think I'm all okay. We all think we're okay sometimes, you know? Or I'm okay. But then you get a little deeper something there, and it stirs up some things, and my, oh my, isn't change wonderful? Isn't the correction of our Father wonderful? I mean, isn't it wonderful? It's just, I love it. Because if I'm not being corrected, something's going on, you know, and receiving it. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for such a house, for such men of God that want to not have their own agenda, but only have your agenda. Father, we're coming into a place of being sold out in you, and we're learning and growing in it. We're like children, Lord, because we are your children. Very, very teachable and very, very much able to receive. So, Father, thank you for that. Thank you. Bless this house. Bless everybody's day and week. And we're becoming sold out in you, Lord. That's where we want to be. In Jesus' name, amen.